It's time for Paying It Forward with Josephine Gerasi. Everyone has learned lessons in life during their lifetime. Some good, some bad. But from everyone, there has been something learned. And now it's time to share that knowledge. It's called Paying It Forward. Here, these lessons learned are then paid forward to you. With you paying it forward too. Josephine put her professional career on hold after the birth of her first child and turned her attention to being a full-time mother. Well, three kids later, Josephine started her own company, MyMomKnowsBest.com and Glovies, but was dismayed by a lack of information that people would share to help entrepreneurs be successful. That's where Paying It Forward was born. This is Paying It Forward on TwiggyNet.com. And now, here's your host, Josephine Gerasi.
Well, welcome, everyone. It's Josephine here, and I have to tell you, this is one of the most exciting times of the year for me. It's September. I know a lot of you will be listening to this show again, and it won't be September, but I have to tell you, September is a great month because the kids go back to school, and it's a good time for renewal, especially when it comes to our business. Today's business tip of the week is reboot your business. So with the word, with renewal, I guess what I'm trying to say is look at your business with a fresh set of eyes. And if it's necessary to reboot, step out of the box and do things differently, don't be afraid to do that. And if it means stepping out of the box and having a friend come in and just really give an honest look as to what and how you're running your business, you never know. Maybe somebody else will be able to give you new perspective on how you're doing something. So that's the business tip of the week. Step back and reboot your business if you feel that that is necessary. Okay, well, I'm so excited about my guest today. I know I say this every time, but this guest is really a true expert in branding. So many of you know that I actually go out and research my guests that I have on my show. I do a lot of research online. I have, you know, thousands of Twitter followers, and I literally go in, read their bios, and really try to see what these individuals are all about. And a lot of times I like to bring guests on my show that can actually help educate me as well with my Glovies business. So now, as many of you know, my Glovies are taking off. I'm so excited about it. It's been a long time in the making. I'm selling incredibly well on Amazon.com, and some retailers have a great interest. So it's really happening. But, you know, my feeling with my Glovies product, just like with any other product out there, no matter how good your product is, it doesn't matter if you can't get your word out there that you have an incredible product. So if nobody knows about your product, it means nothing. You won't sell it. So as I was researching online, I came across my guest. His name is David Breyer. And I have to tell you, I was just so impressed with all of his work that I knew he would be a great guest on the show. And as many of you know, I don't normally do this, but he's so good, I've invited him to do a part one and a part two. So let me tell you a little bit about David before we welcome him onto the show. So David is a multi-award-winning brand specialist whose work has been featured in the New York Times, Forbes, Adweek, Inc., Fast Company, and numerous other publications. With over 350 international awards, he has designed brands for nearly every industry, including Grammy-winning cellist Eugene Friesen and vocalist Bobby McFerrin, as well as the New York City Ballet. With over 700,000 views worldwide online of his slideshow, slideshare presentations on branding. David is one of the leading specialists in branding and rebranding, helping companies turn around their brands or reclaim lost ground in today's fast-moving business world. Fans of the hit TV show Shark Tank will appreciate that one of the stars and investors of that show, Damon John, wrote, "David Breyer is brilliant with branding. A native New Yorker, he is known for his quick wit and his keen insights that cut throughout the clutter to help companies defy gravity and rise above the noise." So with that, I can't wait to welcome David Breyer onto the show. Good morning, David.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
I'm doing great, David. It's a fun time in my business, and I am so thrilled to have you on my show because I get to learn from you just like my listeners do.
Absolutely. It's totally my pleasure to be here, and thank you so much for having me.
Great. So, David, tell me a little bit, how did you end up in marketing? Did you always think that you were going to be in this field?
Well, when I was, I actually was an art major, and so I was always involved in creating and art and creating and finding things that really caught my eye. And growing up in New York, we would visit, you know, Greenwich Village, we'd go to museums and galleries and different things as I was growing up. And so art was always something that always intrigued me, but it was actually in my last semester of college that I was presented with, or actually I think I just found in one of my art classes, this magazine that was done by someone who I later found out was a real legend in the design industry that totally turned my entire world upside down in terms of what was possible. And that became the beginning where I started to then, I decided at that point to really embrace design as a tool, which then started to incorporate into branding. Because of that, right after that, I started to help upstart companies, as well as starting to get freelance jobs with Revlon and Estee Lauder agencies and other companies throughout New York.
Oh, wow. So it kind of just evolved as far as that goes. So you started first in the design area, and then it obviously moved into the branding.
Yes.
I have to tell you, your work is just amazing, David. I'm so impressed, really.
Thank you.
So, David, before we get to your incredible ebook that you're offering to my listeners called The Lucky Brand, before we get to that, let's talk a little bit more about branding. Can you define branding? What is branding?
Great. Good. Excellent question, because that's a very, very misunderstood word, term. The common misunderstandings that people tend to have is, oh, a brand is a logo. A brand is my tagline. A brand is this, a brand is that. And actually, those are things that help make up a brand. And so to answer your question of what branding is, I've actually narrowed it down to four words, because you will find, if you were to go to Amazon.com and you were to type in branding, books on branding, I think the last time I checked, it was about 34,000 books, okay?
Oh, my. Okay.
So there's numerous ideas and philosophies and approaches, but it really comes down, in essence, no matter what philosophy one may have, four words. It is the art of differentiation. Now, to clarify what that means is this. When you and I are looking for something, anything, we have an unbelievable amount of choices. So if we're looking for a car, we're looking for running shoes, we're looking for undergarments, we're looking for clothing, whatever it is, there's an endless amount of choices. Now, the thing, though, is that there always tends to be a few leaders in that category. Those leaders have successfully differentiated themselves from the entire category. So one thing that when I'm working with companies and I'm helping them, one thing I tell them is that if you're using cliches, if you're using common pitches or common sort of you know, promises like we're the best, we're the most professional, we're trusted, we've been around, blah, 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 blah. Same type of promises and language that your competition is using. As a result, cliches, you're actually promoting your category and you're not promoting your brand.
Wow, that's so powerful and it's so, so true.
Yeah. So that's why branding is the art of differentiation. So when it comes to the different disciplines that go into it, you have design as a discipline that helps to differentiate a brand. How does it look? How does it feel? You have language. How does it sound? What's its personality? You have color. You have motion. You have style. You have all these things. These collectively make up the brand vocabulary. So that way, if I see a particular brand where it's well-defined, I'll know them instantly. Like Apple has done that for many, many years. Mm-hmm. Only recently have other technology companies started to copy them where it's become less clear. But you go back 5 years ago, nobody held a candle next. You always knew when an Apple ad would come on. And there are other brands that have a similar, unique voice. That's what branding is.
This is great. So you just gave Apple as an example. Can you help us think of another? What is another really good example of a company that actually gets it and differentiates themselves? I agree with you 100%, David. Apple is just hands down incredible.
Yeah.
And they keep it very, very simple. And even like Nike, I mean, just that one little swoosh. Everybody,
yep, that's correct.
You get it.
That's correct. Well, I mean, a great one is Harley Davidson.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Harley Davidson, if you look at each one of these brands, they stand for something. They've made a real clear stand for what they represent. Harley Davidson, you know, it's kind of like those weekend road warriors. You know, you've got those, it celebrates a certain degree of freedom and rebellion on the open road. You know, Apple was all about being able to, like, do things on, you know, where technology was really there to serve you rather than you having to become a geek and kind of get your wits around the technology. And Nike was really about just do it. It was about the fact that no matter what, on your terms, just do it. In other words, knock off the excuses, and whether you're 89 years old or you're 10 years old or you're training for the Olympics, didn't matter.
I think it's great. And you know what? It's so simple that everybody gets it. And it's funny, David, I can't believe we're coming up on a break already. I have so many questions for you, and we're already learning so much from you. So everyone, hang in there. We have David Breyer with us, and we're learning all about branding today. Thanks, everyone.
We'll be right back with more Paying It Forward with Josephine Gerasi right after these on TogiNet.com.
Welcome to The Quip with Miriam Nicole Huffman, a modern woman's guide to styling her faith, family, and finances. The online radio show dedicated to today's positive, purpose-driven woman who's ready to heal her heart, her head, and her household by realigning with what she values most. If your highest values are faith, family, finances, and freedom, you're in the right place. Host Miriam Nicole Huffman is a woman on a mission. Her mess to success journey has taken her from life as an upper-middle-class stay-at-home mom to a broke single mom to living a life of joy and wholeness as she builds a thriving business while raising her healthy, happy family. Every week on The Quip, Miriam Nicole shares her love, life, legal, and lifestyle success secrets. Whether it's wisdom you're seeking, inspiration and motivation from someone who's hit rock bottom and risen to success, or you want to know how to fully align your faith, family, and finances to create more freedom for yourself, you're in excellent hands with Miriam Nicole. Check out past shows by clicking on the podcast player to the right, or check our recent guests in the blog below. Got a question for Miriam Nicole? Want to be a guest on her show? Email us at thequip@miriamnicolehuffman.com. And join us every Thursday at 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, only here on the Woohoo Radio Network.
It's time to devote time to yourself and strap yourself in for a fun, down-to-earth, enthusiastic, compassionate, easy-to-understand discussion on the unlimited ways you can be all that you want to be. Join us for Be Institute Radio with Christine McKee on TogiNet Radio. Each week, Christine will have lively and open discussions and interviews, share stories and case studies, and hear from experts on the topic of the week. Christine, a registered psychologist from Australia and published author of Be by Design, How I Be Is Up to Me, hosts lively discussions and interviews every Thursday evening at 6 p.m. Central Standard Time.
Welcome back to Paying It Forward, the show dedicated to helping every entrepreneur be more successful as we discuss accomplishments, lessons learned, and sharing those ideas. Now, let's get back to Paying It Forward with Josephine Girasi on TogiNet.com.
Well, welcome back, everyone. It's Josephine here, and I have David Breyer on the line, and we're talking all about branding. So before break, we were just talking about the Nike logo, and David, you're so right. You know, their little slogan, just do it. It's so clear, and everybody gets it. Mm-hmm. So what do you think, David? Let's see what you think about my Glovies logo. My Glovies is my logo, but my little slogan is keeps little hands clean.
Well, I mean, the thing that I like about it is the fact that it's immediately clear who your audience is. I mean, that I think is very, very important. And it communicates to moms. I believe on the last I had checked that women, I think, account for about 65% to 70% of all purchases everywhere. Okay? Moms probably being a very, very major part of that, and especially for families. So you're talking obviously to moms, and one of the biggest things moms will want is not to be having to always clean up after the kids.
Right. We're still working on that, David. But you're so right. I originally started with keep hands clean. And then when I was working with my designer, I guess it was about a year ago, because I have, you know, a whole new version of my product, he threw in that one little word, little. And
yes.
I have to tell you, he nailed it because...
Yes, absolutely. No, totally. Keeps hands clean. That could be, you have to ask yourself, is that for a construction worker? Who is it for? The keeps little hands clean does exactly what you want it to do, which is it's one of the common mistakes that companies make when they're engaged in branding. And I give an example. I'll give you a perfect example.
Okay, good.
Oftentimes when I'm talking to new clients, I'll say, look, here's the big mistake. Don't try and just be everything to everybody, because you essentially, in essence, you'll become nothing to nobody. As an example, going back because everyone knows it, when Apple introduced the iPod, before the iPhone, before the iPad and all this kind of stuff, the iPod, it was an MP3 player. But they, instead of pitching, they didn't talk about all the different things and this, that, the other. And they didn't make the big mistake, which was, who is this for? Oh, this is for everybody. Why? Because everybody has ears. That would have been a major mistake. They identified that these were for that younger audience who grew up on computers, they were used to instant gratification, and they loved to immerse themselves in their own world and passion and music. And so what did they do? They showed those incredible dancing figures, great colors, and they had, I think it's whatever, their five-word closing tagline, 1,000 songs in your pocket, right?
That's great.
Who it was for. It wasn't for anybody and everybody. And that's the big mistake that's commonly made, is that companies can go really broad and they forget, who are we most benefiting? Who is going to be most passionate about our brand? Who's going to engage this that will then talk to others?
Well, I have to tell you, I agree with you 100%, David, because by Apple doing that, I mean, think about it. All those kids going off to college, they're turning to their parents, and their parents are probably wanting to give them anything that they want at that point because they're going to miss them so much. And, you know, the kids almost introduced the iPods to their parents is what I think happened. And as they're on campus, you know, I don't know. The little bit of research that I was doing based on the universities is it's amazing how things spread like wildfire among the kids that are, you know, in college.
Yes.
So I think it's a great way to get the word out as well. So, David, I think you touched on this a little, but let me just ask the question again. Why does it matter that businesses today have a clear brand?
Well, again, let's go back to the point I made earlier in terms of differentiation. And I'll give you a perfect example. The thing that businesses oftentimes miss is that consumers demand a point of difference. They're actually seeking it out. I'll give you an example. Let's say I came to you and I said, "Hey, Josephine, I have these two waters. Here's a 16-ounce water, you know, brand A, and here's a 16-ounce water brand B." And I say, "Here they are. Which one would you like to buy?" And presuming that neither of these companies has done a particularly good job, all they basically said is 16 ounces of water, 16 ounces of water. There's no distinguishing anything. Your immediate knee-jerk reaction is, you're looking for a difference? There is none. Which one's cheaper? Because that's the only thing that adds any value to you. Is why should I spend more money for one of these things if they're basically essentially the same? They have failed to differentiate. So that's the whole point here, is that if you fail to differentiate, your product, your brand, will become a commodity. It won't have any apparent value to the buyer.
I agree with you so much, and that's where packaging comes in. And
vital.
That's why the whole word branding, it's just so important. Like you said, it has so many aspects to it. So you've got your logo, but I'll tell you, I learned a lot of mistakes from my first product that I came out. My package was so wrong. Oh my God, David, I look back at it and I want to hit my head against the wall and say, what was I thinking? Nobody even knew what was inside of the package. So how was I supposed to create a brand if nobody knew what it was? So I think you're so right that there are many pieces to the brand and the package. I'll tell you, I love that example on your website when you talk about the chocolate. Do you want to tell us a little bit about how that came about and how much did their sales increase? Like some crazy number, right?
Yeah, it was astonishing. They saw a three in 30 days after the new package came out. They saw a 300% increase in sales of truffles in 1 month. 1 month. And just basically what happened was it's an incredibly terrific one of the best. They're probably in the top 3 to 4 chocolatiers in the U.S. I'm a chocolate sort of snob, and I all have stuff shipped over from San Francisco and New York and different things, and I love great chocolate. And their chocolate is outstanding. But they had very bland packaging. It didn't do any justice to what was inside. And it took a little while. The owner and I had discussed this for months and months and months, and he finally said, okay, fine. And so I looked at the trends that were going on, and in that particular example, the thing that was common, having worked for Estee Lauder and Revlon and the cosmetic industry, I saw cosmetics has a particular sort of design discipline. Their whole thing is, let's create an aura of everything but yet communicate nothing. Let's make it so that you touch it and you want to touch it and you want to smell it, you want to embrace it, but it doesn't tell you anything. And many chocolatiers were following that approach. So what I did was I looked at that as one fact. I looked at the other fact that foodies love to talk about interesting things. They love to talk about little facts, little tidbits, little bits of trivia. And then I also looked at how certain magazines were talking about food and how celebrity chefs were becoming very popular. So with all those various things, I then created a box that had so much fun information, a very different color palette, but it went 180 degrees against the grain. Everyone else was going minimalist and just, ooh, like a breeze in the air, you know, and we were giving tons of fun little facts and bits and things that people would just read the boxes and collect them. And these literally just went on the back counter. There were no new flavors, no new prices, no change in the hours, no new sales personnel, nothing. Not a single thing changed except for the fact that these boxes are on the back counter. And in 1 month, they saw their sales triple just as a result of that.
David, what is the name of the chocolate? I'm trying to find it on your website.
Legacy Chocolates.
Legacy, yeah.
And they're actually redoing a whole new element. If people go to my website, risingabovethenoise.com, they'll actually see, and they just type in Legacy, the little search box. They can just type in Legacy Chocolates. They'll see examples right there.
That's what got me to call you, because I saw what you did with that Legacy Chocolates. But David, honest to God, just looking at it on the computer makes me want to order the chocolate. I mean, that's how impressive I think the box is. And I'm one of those crazy people, David. I don't know when this started with me, but I love boxes.
Yeah.
I really do. And I can't tell you how many products I've bought saying to myself, I don't care. I'll pay $10 for the product, even just for the box. And if the product inside is good, well, that's a little bonus, but I love the box.
Yes.
So
yes. That was the thing. Women love details. If you are in the business where you are servicing women, if you do not pay attention to the details, you might as well be, you're basically shaving at least 50% of your sales off the right off the cuff.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. So I think this is great. So David, I can't believe this show is going by so quickly. We're already almost halfway through. But when we come back, I'm so interested in knowing what's like the most common error companies make when trying to brand their company. I mean, I think I know the answer. And we're coming up on our break, but I'm going to take a guess at it, and you can tell me if I'm wrong. I think it's making the message too complicated.
That is a common problem. That's not the one, but that is a common one. I'll share with you what the answer is. Complements what you just said for sure.
Well, I can't wait to hear it. So everyone, stay with us. We have David Breyer talking all about branding, and we will be back shortly. Thanks, everyone.
We'll be right back with more Paying It Forward with Josephine Gerasi right after these on TogiNet.com.
Are you fascinated by the stories behind the stories, the people behind their masks, the truth about people's failures and redemptions in both their business and personal lives? Then Off the Record Secrets Of with host Judy Schreiner is for you. It's people's secrets that make them interesting, but very few folks are willing to reveal them unless they trust that their information will be treated with accuracy, fairness, and respect. People have been entrusting their secrets to longtime business journalist Judy Schreiner for the last 25 years, and now she's bringing her expertise and impressive contact list. Tune in and call in as host Judy Schreiner talks to guests off the record as they reveal new secrets each Tuesday at noon Eastern, 11 a.m. Central.
Have you ever wondered if you're normal or why you feel distant from your partner? Then join us for Sex Talk with Lou with your host Lou Paget on TogiNet Wednesday nights 9-8 Central. Do you want to recreate a truly connected relationship or wonder, how do I tell my kids about things? Join Lou Paget, one of the world's best-selling authors in the field of sexuality, a certified sex educator and sought-after expert for all media, and her renowned expert guests as they discuss anything and everything about sex that impacts our lives and our families' lives. For more on Lou, check out her website, loupaget.com. This is the show where the best experts in the field of sexuality and sexual health can finally give you the answer to that question. Join us for Sex Talk with Lou, with your host, Lou Padgett, Wednesday nights at 9, 8 Central on TogiNet.com.
Welcome back to Paying It Forward, the show dedicated to helping every entrepreneur be more successful as we discuss accomplishments, lessons learned, and sharing those ideas. Now, let's get back to Paying It Forward with Josephine Gerasi on TogiNet.com.
Well, welcome back, everyone. It's Josephine here. And right before break, David Breyer and I were discussing, you know, what's the most common error companies make when trying to brand their company? And my guess was that companies try to create a message that's too complicated. And David, you're going to tell me whether I'm right or wrong about that one.
Well, what you're saying is true, but there's something that's even more fundamental than that, because too often companies, they create brand messages that are vague or too broad or too this or too that. They almost make brands that are kind of like roach motels where cash goes in but never comes out.
Right. That's so funny.
and so what happens is the great brands, the world-class brands, they stand for something and they oppose something, okay? Mm-hmm. So, like a great brand will actually, it might be for greater freedom for the user, and but yet they're opposing unnecessary complications or different things. And so, when it came to, when you look at, I'm just trying to think of a good, simple example for your listeners. Let's see. Here, I guess, is the thing. I mean, even when Vegas had that great campaign, like "What happens here stays here,"
right.
It was kind of, they stood for the factor of that sort of, throwing caution to the wind and all this kind of stuff. And they were all for that. They advocated that kind of freedom and just, whatever happens, it's your time. And all of that. And they were against you kind of being cautious and all this kind of stuff. That's just one example. But any great brand is going to be in support of something. As a perfect example, we just took a company that produces water.
Okay.
And they needed, the product is just for athletes. And what we found, here's an interesting example. When you see athletes on the sidelines always drinking a Gatorade, the Gatorade cups and stuff like this?
Right.
Those are filled with water. They're not drinking Gatorade. Okay.
I'm laughing, David. I just filled up my son's Gatorade water bottle for school with ice cold water.
Yeah. Athletes don't really like Gatorade. And if you actually look what's in it, it's not something that's really beneficial. And so what we did is we made this new brand all about being for the athletes and for their benefit, and being against big monopolies, corporate monopolies that are creating kind of sugar water or these different sort of chemical concoctions. And this is actually a water product that's backed by 25 years of stuff. But in doing it, we could have taken all kinds of different approaches. And I can actually, that's actually even in covered on our website. You can even see it. It's actually called Defiance Fuel. Defiance Fuel. We found that athletes love the fact that defy limitation. Limitation, whether it's their body, limitation, whether it's an opponent, limitation, whether it's time, because like running out of time against the clock. So their whole thing was defy limitation. So that's what we're for. And we're against other things that sort of really don't back that up. So you have to have that, what you're for and what you're against. And that those passions have to be clear.
Gosh, I would have never thought about that. It makes me look at my product, my Glovies, a little differently. So yep. I know what I'm for. I'm for protecting little hands and keeping them clean. What am I against? You have me thinking, David.
That's good. Thinking is a good thing.
Okay, but this is great. How important branding is. Okay, great. So let's move on to my next question.
Mm-hmm.
And David, I feel like we might have touched against this, but I know you have another tip for us regarding this question. How can companies stand out in today's clutter of noise? And once again, it's that differentiation. But I'll tell you one thing while you think about that question. But David, do you know what I did for my Glovies product? I cannot believe I did it. It was one of the first things I did when I started my company. I got in touch with a woman, I believe she was from Ohio, and she created custom-made mascots. Don't ask me why I did this. David, what was I thinking? I think I was sleep deprived because my kids were so little at the time. Mm-hmm. But I said to myself, you know what? This woman knows what she is doing. So when I created my logo, I have three little penguins as my logo. I said, you know what? My product's for kids. I'm going to create this massive mascot, and I'm going to go out and hand out my samples and get the kids to love the penguin and want to take pictures with the penguin so that the parents want to come over and see what all the commotion's about. Can I tell you, this woman did the most amazing job. I brought it to one of the conferences. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the ABC Kids trade show. It's a massive trade show with all new baby products go out and everything. They get introduced at the show and buyers are there and parents are there, whatever. I went there. David, there were thousands of people there. Can I tell you, after 4 days, everybody knew about the Glovies penguin.
Fabulous.
And they knew about Glovies. And it's just like you're saying, it's so important to just do something differently.
That's exactly right.
Is that what you were thinking about, just the whole concept of standing out?
Well, that's definitely part of it, all right? I mean, and as long as people connected that mascot with your product, that's great. You take a look, like Geico has done a great job with the gecko. People, they see the gecko,
yeah.
They think of Geico. Aflac has done the same with the duck. You know, so it's kind of like if it's done well, it actually can benefit a brand. But one of the points on all of this is not using the same language as your competitors. When you're launching a brand,
uh-huh.
You have to look what is on the landscape. Who, you know, because people are always seeking for a better way to do something, a faster way to do something, an easier way to do something. They're looking at some way to improve things. Might be saving money. It might be doing things quicker. Like I sometimes when I talk to people, I say, you know, you think that ragu is a spaghetti sauce. I say, no, ragu is actually, it's actually efficiency in the kitchen. So that the person doing the cooking, whether it's the mom or the dad, you know, instead of them sitting over and toiling over making spaghetti sauce, they actually can get a little more family time together and do a little less burden in the kitchen. So it's really convenience that is what they're buying, not actually spaghetti sauce. Spaghetti sauce is almost an afterthought.
That's so funny. But tell us more about emotions and branding and how they go together, David.
Well, from which standpoint, in terms of the emotional drive or the passion of a brand, which standpoint are you referring to?
I'm thinking more about the emotions on the side of the consumer to actually want to just go out and buy this product. I mean, I feel like a lot of companies, especially on the Disney Channel, David, you have to hear my young kids talk about products. My daughter literally walked into my office this morning and she said to me, "Mommy, if you have to buy shoes, you need to go to this website." And she's telling me a website that I never heard of before, but it's the way that these companies are branding their product and getting the message across to the children as well as everybody else. It's just, I guess, what actually, I don't know what I'm trying to say here, David, but what is the differentiating thing that companies do to get their consumers emotionally tied into their product?
Well, put it this way, you have two sides to every bit of engagement on the consumer.
Right.
You have the intellectual argument, the facts, the figures, blah, 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 blah. But then you have the emotional side, which is, what's the frustration? Now, I'll give you a great little formula that I use. You'd mentioned earlier that my SlideShare presentations have had over 700,000 views worldwide, which is true and increasing all the time.
Uh-huh.
One of the principles and formulas that I use, there's pain, agitation, solution. In other words, you have to establish, what's the pain? What's the thing? What's the frustration that they're having to put up with? What's the discomfort? What's the annoyance? Oh, how come it always has to be so hard that this is like this? Or why is this always like this? Or how come no one's thought of something different? What's that pain? And then you agitate it. Like, what are the outcomes of that? What's the ripple effect? And then you can actually talk about your solution. Most brands will want to talk about their solution right out of the gate without establishing the pain and agitating it, because the pain is that's the thing that's going to drive the emotion.
Oh,
so pain, agitation, solution.
It's so brilliant, David, because by doing those three easy steps, it's defining to the consumer, you're just reinforcing, I don't want to say they're, in some cases it probably is fear. You know how sometimes, like, you know, let me give you an example with my glovies when the swine flu hit. I have to tell you, there were companies out there, especially the hand sanitizers, that were out there marketing the heck out of their product based on the fear. But I guess what I'm trying to say is I was always looking for the solution, not realizing that you're so right to look at the other two steps before you get to the solution will probably give you that hook with your customers that much quicker.
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing is that the pain, you know, the pain or the problem, however you want to frame it, that's what's most real to them.
Right.
And companies, when they're wanting to talk about their brand, it's kind of, I almost do a comparison. I use this analogy. It's like going out on a first date. If you go on a first date with somebody and the only thing that that person wants to talk to you about is themselves.
Right.
Without any interest in you, that's going to be a very short date.
You're
and everybody's
right.
going to be going Dutch.
You're so funny. Well, we have a lot more to talk about. We're coming up on our last segment of Paying It Forward. David Breyer's with us. So everyone,
right,
hang in there. We're going to talk about some really great golden rules.
Right after these on TogiNet.com.
Show me the money!
Okay, we will. We're going to teach you how to tell your money where to go. It's Intelligent Investing with Pam Otten on TogiNet. Learn how to be a savvy investor from someone who has your best interest at heart. Pam Otten is a financial advisor who loves to help successful business owners and entrepreneurs understand the mysteries of the investment world, and she's not afraid to share that knowledge. Pam is an unashamed Christian and qualified kingdom advisor, which means she's trained and committed to integrating biblical principles into her financial advice. Pam believes investing isn't rocket science. This is the financial advisor who's in your corner and truly understands and cares about you and helping you achieve your goals. Securities and advisory services are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA SIPC. It's Intelligent Investing with Pam Otten.
on TogiNet.
As a member of the baby boomer generation, you want insights and ideas that factor into planning for, making choices about, and activating your new or mothballed dreams. As a boomer, you can learn how to act on your visions by tuning into the Awakening to Awareness show on Tuesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern. If you are inspired to follow your own path, step into new directions, and are excited about what you, as a recent or soon-to-be retiree, can do with your life, this is your show. Listen to the show that focuses on self-belief and possibilities for emerging seniors who look forward to life's third act with dread or amazing promise. Host Eric Tonigson and his guests share entertaining ideas and explore strategies to reignite your passions and shift your intentions into action. In his naturally curious and motivating ways, Eric explores personal values, shares wisdom, and encourages you to unlock and live your potential and purpose. Join Eric and his Awakening to Awareness show on Tuesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on the TogiNet Talk Radio Network.
Welcome back to Paying It Forward, the show dedicated to helping every entrepreneur be more successful as we discuss accomplishments, lessons learned, and sharing those ideas. Now, let's get back to Paying It Forward with Josephine Gerasi on TogiNet.com.
Well, welcome back, everyone. It's Josephine here, and David Breyer, our guest, has done an amazing job with sharing his knowledge about branding with us. And David, I'd like to give you the opportunity to tell my listeners how they can actually get in touch with you and learn more about everything that you're doing.
Absolutely. Yeah, if they very simply, there's a whole message, which is I'm all about helping companies really rise above the noise and defy gravity and rise above the noise. So if they go to risingabovethenoise.com, that's rising, I-N-G, abovethenoise.com, they can, there's a number of things they can do. One is first of all, they can get the free ebook, The Lucky Brand, which thousands of business owners and companies have downloaded around the world. There's also a whole series of videos that they could see, video interviews, case studies. There's a ton of content there that will give, with all varieties, whether someone's looking at rebranding a company, but it actually gives a lot of show and tell. As opposed to using more and more words, they will actually see how this stuff is to be done. What did it look like before? What does it look like now? But if they go there, they're invited. They can get the free ebook. And if they want to ask questions in advance of next week's show, I would ask them to, just send an email to me. They could send an email to me at david@risingabovethenoise.com and say, Josephine's show, and in the subject line, because I get a lot of emails. That way I won't miss them. And we'll see which ones we can take up for next week's show.
Oh, this is perfect. That's a great idea. All right. Wonderful. So, David, thanks so much for that. So, as all my listeners know, we wrap up the show with five of the guests' best business tips. And David's got, in his ebook, he has golden rules. He has 10 golden rules. So we decided we're going to do five this week and five next week. So, David, golden rule number one, rules enable one to follow. Knowledge enables one to lead. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Very briefly, I find that people who are new to the concept of branding or new to business tend to want to find something that they can really lean on, like a crutch, rather than really digging deeper to get the actual understanding. Why does this work? Why should we do things this way? They actually just sort of go, oh, we should do blah. They sort of blindly follow. So I always am an advocate of making sure that take something beyond it just being a rule that one has learned and actually have it be something, a piece of knowledge that they can use. Real simple.
Can you give us an example of that, David?
Sometimes it's kind of like, there are certain rules that some people might apply, saying, well, you must only use a certain type of typeface in certain industries. And so as a result, they never question why. Why did it work? That's just a very simple example, but I've actually seen that happen, where okay, or it used to be, hey, we have to design things so it works really, really, really small. We have to do, because it's going to be seen small, but they never look at what are the times when it's actually going to be used large. How is it going to work then? So it's kind of like blindly following things. Those are just two basic examples.
Yeah, I think that's great. And you also have here, never follow information blindly. Ask yourself, how can I use this information?
Exactly.
I think that's great. Okay, we'll move on to golden rule number two.
I love golden rule number two.
This is really great. I have to tell you, David, I loved the book. The whole entire book was great. I just loved it. It's full of yellow marker, my entire book. So it's so good. So, okay, in branding as in life, being average isn't the goal. It's the barrier to overcome on your way to brand excellence and leadership. Tell us
exactly. Well, let's look. I'll give you a very short example. You can go to Amazon.com right now. Is there a tab for average? Is there a tab for mediocre?
Right. No, you're so right, though. You're right.
That's it.
No, you know what, David? It's so important. It's so true. I mean, I even say this to my kids. If you're working hard at something, don't you want to be the best? You're putting the effort forward, so be a winner. And I think that's what it is with branding as well. Imagine all the money that people spend. And David, this is why I have my radio show, because I wasted so much money had I known what I was doing the first time around. But the thing is, when you're spending all of this kind of money, why not go for the top and be the winner?
Exactly.
Instead of just being average.
Yep.
So, all right, let's go to golden rule number three. Life and business is like software. Version upgrades are available. Tell us about that.
Well, I have seen more companies than I would like get into a rut, get into doing things the way they've always been done. And sometimes it even gets so bad that there was a comment made at one point that the worst strategy, the worst brand strategy that one could have is, well, this is the way we've always done it.
Right. No, but
which is not
true.
A brand strategy. That's sort of like you're stuck in a treadmill. And anyway, the basic thing of that is one needs to recognize, like, I just literally worked with a company a few months ago helping them rebrand. It was over a 100-year-old company, and they had done things a particular way, and it took a little while to get them to sort of realize what could be done and what was possible. And it was just, that was a great example, but it was one of the most complicated projects, because it took them 100 years to create the bit of the mess that we found ourselves in. And then when I came along, I had to undo 100 years worth of bad habits.
Yeah, and I could imagine they probably weren't so quick to want to fully change. Did you have
to
take that
if you're going to invest stages? If you're going to invest a century in doing things a particular way, you probably are somewhat convinced that there's got to be a legitimate reason. Otherwise,
right.
You know?
Right. You're so right. Oh, that's so funny, but it's so true.
Yeah.
So let's see. I love what you write here. Prepare to discover a lot. Challenge the status quo and dare to be far above what is generally accepted as average. Pick one thing and discover how it can be made remarkable. don't stop until you do it.
Yep.
So I think that's great. That's kind of a combo of number two and number three.
Yep.
So, all right. So that sounds good. Let's go to golden rule number four. Become a cause for celebration. Tell us about that.
The great brands of the world are ones that are born out of passion and give the user a reason to actually become, to celebrate. It gives them something to be excited about. It's like finally, we've all had the moment, that moment where we bought something new and we were like, wow, finally someone thought of blah. How come no
right.
one thought of this before? We've all had that moment. So that's the moment. If because that's almost the difference. And here's a little subtle distinction. It's a sort of side note. You know the difference between the capitalist and the entrepreneur. The entrepreneur is the one that's looking and is passionate and wants to create something and wants to buck up against the system. The capitalist is a little bit different, that they're just interested in kind of doing a transaction and, you know, counting their reward. They're not interested in creating something. The entrepreneur has that entrepreneurial spirit. And that's what we're talking about here. What's that thing that's going to be that cause for celebration, that people rise up and say, yes, you gave me a voice. You're an extension of what I was hoping for.
But this is so funny what you write here, and it's so true. I mean, I'm full-blooded Italian, David. I grew up every Sunday at my grandmother's house with the homemade sauce and the whole entire thing. And you're so right about ragu. It's a cause for celebrating the convenience of Italian flavor in a jar. How funny is that? I never thought of it that way. Brilliant.
That's right.
It's brilliant. Oh, gosh. Now you're putting me to work here. Now I have to go figure out a celebration for Glovies. All right. All right. Great. So we have less than 2 minutes, so we'll be quick. Golden rule number five, there is little worse a company can do for its brand than to have a product or service that is different with a pitch that sounds the same as everyone else's.
Yep. I have had companies come to me and say, oh, we have the greatest blah 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 blah, and it's where it's truly a superior product or truly revolutionary or an innovative. And so I asked them, I said, good, so why does your product sound the same and talk the same as all of these inferior products?
Right.
And that's the thing. And they go, whoa. Because the thing is, that's a total disservice. If you have taken all of the time and the effort, and they think that somehow,
right.
I jokingly say, look, what are you expecting? Is this like marketing by telepathy? Are you expecting people to telepathically know, ooh, it is vastly superior. I will now shell out dollars to pay for this. You have to tell the story. We're in the job and the role of being storytellers. We either tell the story or we don't. And if you're from New York, you know about telling stories. You're Italian, you know about telling stories. It's part of the culture.
You're so funny and you're so right. And David, I'm getting ready for my big presentation tonight, and I'm going to use those words, tell your story. But
yep.
I can't wait to share with all the women tonight. There's going to be about 50 women entrepreneurs, and I can't wait to tell them all about your website and your ebook and all of the great stuff I learned about branding. But everyone, stay with us, because come back next week. We have David Breyer coming back to Paying It Forward. David, thank you for being a guest this week, and we'll see you next week on Paying It Forward.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks, David. See
yep.
everybody
thank you
next
for
week.
Being a
have
part
a great
of
weekend.
Paying It Forward with Josephine Gerasi on TogiNet.com. This show is dedicated to helping every entrepreneur be more successful. Each week, we'll be discussing accomplishments, lessons learned,